All right, thank you for that. Over the course of the next few weeks, I'm letting some of the pastoral staff, they're going to be preaching on Thursday night. We have a lot of great staff members that work here, and I want you to be able to hear them every now and then. Tonight, Brother Joseph's going to come up. Brother Joseph is a tremendous blessing. He has a great Sunday school class, oversees the college, and really anything we ask him to do, anything he does a tremendous job in its very first class. So we're pleased to have him with us. Brother Joseph, why don't you come?
Thank you, Pastor Myers. You should have a handout. Go ahead and get that out. And that's pretty much all the scriptures that you will need there. PA, guys, I will use this a little bit while I'm reading and whatnot. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we are. Let's get right into it by reading the scripture, and then we'll get going here. Thank you. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run," the Apostle Paul writing, "not as uncertainly." I don't run this race uncertainly. I'm not just wandering here. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He said, "I'm also not." You see some guys before a big fight. What was the last biggest one? McGregor versus whoever it was. Before time, they're standing there and they're kind of shadow boxing, right? Just kind of hitting the air. He says, "Look, when I throw a punch, I want to connect, right? I want to make some contact there." Because I'm not running my race uncertainly, and I'm also not just beating the air. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. He also says, "Brethren, I count not myself this side of eternity to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." The next two phrases between commas are not the one thing that he did. It's after that. He said, "I, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before," this is the thing that he did. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Man, I made that. How many of you, that font was a little bit small for you? I went to the eye doctor yesterday. I was always impressed with my vision until I went to go get my real ID. Y'all know, how many of you have had to get your real ID so far? You've already had to go? No? Well, it's coming soon. You're not going to be able to fly between states without it. You've got to have a passport, birth certificate, all this stuff. And so it was a long ordeal. Anyways, when you renew to get your real ID, they want you to take a vision test. So I was standing there taking my vision test, and I didn't do so well. And so now I prayed. They sent me over to secondary screening, and I said, "Lord, please, please, my license expires in 5 days. I know I procrastinated, and I said, please help me to pass." And I looked, and I literally could not make them out. And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't make them out." And she said, "You're a commercial driver. You all have to have perfect vision. We can't let you know. You got to do the smaller line." I said, okay, come back. Let me give it a shot. Lord, please help me. I kid you not. I hope this doesn't get to the California Department of Motor Vehicles. But I guessed, and I got it right. Praise the Lord. But I said, I know the next time I go, it's not going to work. So I went yesterday. They said, "You definitely need glasses." I said, "Okay, make me look older. It is what it is." So I should have made this font a little bit bigger. Anyhow, this time of the year, Pastor Myers has encouraged us to, and I hope we are thinking about the new year, making New Year's resolutions or whatever you'd call them. While I was preparing this message, I came across some, what do they say, relatable posts, right, or relatable tweets, and here are a couple of them. One person wrote this. He said, "It was my New Year's resolution to lose 15 pounds. Some of us wouldn't be bad, and he said, "And I have 35 to go." Apparently, that was made before the holidays. Other one said, "My resolution is to get to the same weight that I was when I realized I needed to lose weight." That's what you call lowered expectations. Now, most of us will relate to this one right here. It said, "I'd keep to my diet, but I'm only 2 stamps away from a free meal on my rewards card." Come on now, get that Chick-fil-A app. Can't pass that one up, right? Another one, my resolution is to stop checking my Explore feed on Instagram. Some of our screen time would drop by 5% if we stopped doing that. Other guy said, my resolution is to be more assertive. Is that okay? Another one said, I want to work on my self-esteem, but I just don't think I can. Another one said, my New Year's resolution for the last 4 years has been to eat better and work out. Now, I think most of us would say we want to eat a little better, maybe work out a little bit more. But instead, I just follow fitness accounts on Instagram and pretend like pickles are a vegetable. Another guy said, his name was Ethan. Ethan said, my New Year's resolution is to stop. He was asked, stop what? He replied, well, I'm not sure yet. Now, I think this time of the year, a lot of people, and even a lot of Christians, are like Ethan. Many people reflect on the previous year, and we think about our lives, maybe our ministry, maybe our walk with God, and our desire is to have a better next year. Sometimes we sit down, and the pastoral staff did it for 2 days. We get out a piece of paper, and we'll get out a pen, if you're old school. Get out a tablet, whatever you get out, and we'll write down some goals. This is what I want to improve. Now, some of us will go a step further, and we will put systems in place to help those goals to come to fruition, or change our systems that got the results we didn't want to get the results that we do want. Now, say this. Look, losing weight, I guess it's a good thing, except for me. But for most of us, losing weight wouldn't be a bad thing. Reading more. Not a bad resolution to try to do. When we did our staff planning, I wrote down 9 books that I want to read at least in 2019. As of yesterday, I finished the first one, got a little bit ahead. But reading is not a bad thing, not a bad resolution. Maybe cutting back on some tech time, huh? Would be a good resolution. Maybe choosing to live by that bad word, a budget, in 2019 instead of maybe we didn't so much. In 2018, if you say, I can't afford to live by a budget, you need to live by a budget. But I'll ask this, why do we do the things that we do? Why? Why will we make those resolutions? Why will we put those plans in place? Why will we take a couple days away to plan? The title of my little challenge tonight is Live 2019 on Purpose. Live it on purpose. I think too many Christians, too many people in general,
to this, thank you. Just live day to day, and so many times people's motto is, their life motto is just roll with the punches. Now look, I understand sometimes tragedy strikes, and the best thing you can do is roll with the punches. Look, I have 4 children, 6, 4, 2, and 5 months. Did I get that right? Somewhere around there. Some days and a whole lot of nights, you gotta roll with the punches. But we've got to come to a point in our life where our life is not just lived from day to day, rolling with every punch that comes by. There comes a point in our lives where we have to ask, why am I doing the things I'm doing? Why am I living the way that I am living? Why do I do the things that I do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the Apostle Paul shows us, I think you have this on your notes, that he did not run his race on this earth haphazardly. He did not run his race uncertainly. The Apostle Paul ran his race and he lived his life on purpose and with a purpose. Paul allowed, I don't know if you have this, Paul allowed his resolutions to be guided by one thing. And this is the challenge. If you don't get anything else tonight, pull out your pillow. There was a fight at our Christmas party about a neck pillow. I'm like, come on, guys, it's just a neck pillow, okay? Stay in the spirit, walk in the spirit. You won't feel the love. Anyways. And so get out your pillow, whatever you got to do. If you get this, this is what it's about. The Apostle Paul ran his race and lived his life on purpose and with a purpose. He allowed his resolutions or what he did in his life to be guided by one thing. You say, what was that? He allowed everything he did to be guided by the day that he would stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Simply put, Paul ordered the affairs of his life based on eternity. He said, look, he said, I am not running this life uncertainly. So I'm not running just as one. I'm not striving for the mastery just as one that beateth the air. And we know based on scripture that when he came to the end of his life, What did Paul say? He said, I have fought what? A good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, what was there? He knew that he was that close to getting a prize. Why? Because throughout his race, he lived for eternity. Now, we too are running a race. We're at the end of 2018. For the most part, 2018 is in the books. Our walk with God for this past year, or lack thereof, it's in the books. How we reared our children for the Lord is in the books. My personal growth and what I did for eternity, it's in the books. My ministry, it's pretty much in the books. And a couple days from now, about 12 days from now, we will embark on a brand new year. And I want to ask us, this is the challenge tonight. 2018 is behind us. Let's live 2019 on purpose for eternity. Now, what did Paul do? What did Paul realize that helped him to finish his course, live for eternity, and at the end of his life say, man, I'm ready for this thing because I know there's a prize waiting for me. What did he do? Number one. Paul realized, here it is, that each race has a starting point. I think you have a blank here, and an ending point. Verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. What was he saying? Every race has a start. Every race has an end. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What was that? That was, in the other passage, the race where the prize would be given. That was the end, the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Paul lived the way he did for eternity. Now look, I know we got to live this life. We've got to provide. And sometimes we get so caught up, it's hard to think about it every day. On Thanksgiving, I mentioned this in prayer meeting, and Thanksgiving, I was at my Uncle Trent's house. Not too long ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. Now, those of you that know my Uncle Trent, he's a cut-up. He's hilarious. You can't have a conversation without him ragging on you and messing around. It's great. He's the life of the party every time. We were there, and he was sitting there on his absolutely no carb. He accidentally got, I don't think he'd mind me saying this, he accidentally got a pear, and his wife wasn't there. He said, oh, that tastes so good. I haven't had sugar in my mouth and all forever. And he said, is my wife looking? He was diagnosed with cancer, and they started chemotherapy, try to get it to go into remission, try to get it to go away. And long story short, after 2 or 3 treatments, he almost died. They said, your body cannot handle the chemo. You're not going to be able to handle any more of it. We have to stop. What do you do? And so he tried to change his diet, and they're talking about a possible surgery to remove a decent chunk size within his body. And anyone who's gone through that or has had family that's gone through that knows how traumatic it is. But he still had a good spirit, and he was still pleasant, and he was still fun to be around. But I'll tell you this. He understood, like never before, that our race has a beginning point and has an end point. Yeah. Man, if you would have walked in with us, we scored that day. I mean, literally, where's Dan? He was handing out big old flat screen TVs, and Dan walked out with 2 of them. There's one huge one in his office and one in his room. Am I telling the truth? He doesn't use them. It's not connected to anything, but he likes how it looks. But look, you know what he was saying? This is what my uncle said. He said, take it. He said, anything else around here, go ahead, take it. It's not going to do me any good. See, what did he realize? This is what he realized. When you see eternity for what it really is, and when you have your focus on the fact that one day we're going to stand before the Lord, you get seriously detached from the things of this earth. We do good every once in a while to just stop and ponder on the fact that our race has a starting point. We're all here, but it also has an ending point. One day we're going to stand before God. And if we live like that, and if we plan and live 2019 like that, we'll be more ready for eternity. I remember our 25th anniversary. I think my dad was standing right here. You know how he used to do it? He'd kind of get preaching, he'd kind of bend over like that. I think he was right here. And he said, you know, it'd be nice. I kind of plan to be around here for 20 more years. How many remember that? Now, it might be insensitive for you to say that. I don't think it's insensitive for me to say that. He said, it'd be nice if I was around here for 20 more years. And he talked about the future, and he preached about the vision and all that kind of stuff. He was looking 20 years. And by the way, I'm thankful that my dad was a visionary and he saw into the future, because a lot of that, what has happened is because of that. But he didn't know that that was the last anniversary service he would ever preach. Likewise, for us, we have no idea. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And in God's economy, even if by reason of strength we get past our 80 and live to 80, Brother Jerry, like we were talking about this evening, in God's economy is not very much time. And in the scope of eternity, it's definitely only a little bit of time. Let's understand, like Paul did, that this is a race. There's a starting point and there's an end point. And let's live our lives for eternity. Amen. Someone said, only one life so soon shall pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. When we ponder the end point of our race and the brevity of life, we will order, or we should, we must, we have to order our lives in light of eternity. Number two, what did Paul understand? He also understood that there is a prize to be obtained. There's a prize. In verse 24, he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He's contrasting here the temporal race and an eternal race. So run that ye may obtain. You know, there's nothing wrong with running to obtain that prize. All throughout Scripture, both the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and others, they said, hey, look, you're going to run this thing? Run it, what they say, in it to what? In it to win it. And he said, look, in a temporal race, only one receives the prize. But in our race, in my race that God's put before me, I'm the only one in that race. And I determine by the way I order the events and the affairs of my life, whether or not I get the prize. Look here, Matthew 13:44-46. The Lord Jesus Christ said this when thinking about this race and the prize available to us in eternity. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven's like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven, talking about eternity, the potential for crowns and rewards and all that's available to us in eternity. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven's like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Why? Because he realized the value of it. What's that mean for us? When we really comprehend the eternal rewards and dividends and the fact that we'll get to rule and reign with Christ, there'll be different positions, different types of eternities for different types of people. Then when we understand, we will be willing. I have it right here. There's a price so great in heaven that those who really understand it are willing to give their lives pursuing it. We saw there that he's contrasting, and all throughout this text and others, he's contrasting a temporal race and an eternal race. Getting a little ahead of myself. Let's strive for the eternal and the incorruptible, not the temporal. Yes. Number three. What did Paul understand? Paul understood that those that will be rewarded must practice temperance. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperance, you think you have a blank there, means showing moderation or self-restraint. Those that pursue eternity and the prize in it are temperate. Here it is. Here's the point. You know, as Christians, thank God we have the liberty to do a lot of things. I'm so glad that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. All right? I had some good bacon the other day. Praise the Lord for that. I can have a shrimp cocktail. Now, it'll take you to heaven a lot faster, but it sure tastes good. But we can do a lot of things. We have the liberty to do a lot of things in Christ. But that doesn't mean that everything that we do is healthy for a life lived for eternity. Look, there are sports players. If I'm preparing for a marathon, I could eat. Well, maybe I could. I don't know. I have a fast metabolism. It just kind of, I can't gain weight if I try. I've tried. I really have. But we could eat We could eat a quarter pounder with cheese. We could eat a triple. We can go out and do our fries animal style. We could drink all the dairy we want, have the milkshakes, supersize. We can do all that kind of stuff. And every single runner of a marathon has the liberty to do that. Doesn't mean he's going to do well in the marathon. Now, as we look back upon 2018 and we look upon 2019, I want us to ask ourselves, what can we do? Are there areas in our life where it might be better to practice temperance instead of using our liberty so that we could live for eternity? Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here it is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the what? The race that is set before us. What are some things in our lives that maybe we can practice moderation or temperance? You know, I read an article, I think yesterday, how my uncle sent it to me, how back in the day, our founding fathers actually saw luxury as a danger. Now, we see it as an entitlement. And we get so caught up into it, it's not healthy for eternity. What are some things that we can shed? How about the television? They say if it's not specific, it's not dynamic. I'm so glad. Definitely doesn't make us better than anybody else, because I know me and God knows me. I'm so glad that my dad chose to rear us without a television in the home. You say, you guys are weird. I know, I twitch every once in a while and I got to catch myself. It is what it is. But we sure missed out on the 200,000 violent acts that a child will see on average every single year watching television. And how many immodestly dressed ladies, how much hard rock, and how much everything else that comes out of that filth. You say, oh, but my liberty in Christ allows me to. That's true. And if God's blessed you with money and a good job, you can have 10 flat screen televisions. But that doesn't mean that you're practicing temperance that helps us to live a life that's worthwhile in eternity. The internet, oh my. The average American spends 3.5 days online. That will be 8 years of our lives by the time we're 70 years old. 8 years. Just on the internet. Now we have the liberty in Christ to surf all day long, to go on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and that Explore feed we talked about earlier that hopefully is on some of our resolutions. We have the liberty in Christ to do that. However, maybe we can practice some temperance for the sake of eternity. We talk about our phone. We can talk about, how about overtime? I don't want to tread sacred water here, but, you know, we get a job so that we can provide for our family, but if we're not careful, that job can take us away from the very entity that we got the job to provide for. It's like college students, oh, I'm going to get a job so I can pay for Bible college. They go, they get a good job, and they ask them to work during Bible college, and they quit Bible college for that job that they got to provide for Bible college. And if you ask me to say that again, I couldn't say it again, but you get the point. Oh, jobs, I'm not doing it again. Thanks for coming. I better move along. Maybe it's social media. Oh my. Maybe it's the radio. 7 years ago, this is just me, because I know me. 7 years ago, I went to winter camp and I was the preacher. I got convicted. And I decided I was going to give up sports radio, because every time I got in the car that was on, and sometimes I get back at that time, I got up really, really early. And, you know, Mike in the morning, what's that, 4 to 6, and then Colin Cowherd. And then, you know, then you go, and I knew every single hour, every single sports radio host, I knew it all. And every time I got, I wanted to look for errands so that I could go in there and turn it on. 7 years ago, gave it up. And then the year after that, and then I found myself filling that vacuum with Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all these guys. And again, none of these things in and of themselves are wrong, but I'd much rather, the other day I was in the car, it was off, and because we're not listening to the radio, we're having meaningful conversations with our children about the Bible and about Scripture and about doctrine. I think Brother Bird told us I was in a conversation with him, and he was just talking about some meaningful things with his children in the car. I kind of doubt that the radio was on and they were listening to things when they were having those conversations. See, what's the point? I'm not saying you ought to give those things up. I'm just asking, where can we practice temperance and moderation for the sake of eternity? That's all we're asking. Number four, we better move. Number four, Paul understood that this race is a spiritual and eternal one, not a temporal one. Corporate companies and people in the sports world are striving for corruptible prizes. These things are all going to burn. And yet, they sure do give themselves to it, do they not? They sell it, they package it, and they live for it. I think of Nike. Nike, what's their motto? What is it? Just do it, right? And they show a man, and they package it, and they pay for the commercial, and there's a man giving everything he's got, or somebody jumping the high jump, or someone working out for the sake of his sport. What's Gatorade? Gatorade's motto is it in you, right? And they show a guy working so hard that he's sweating, and it's green sweat, right? Or it's orange sweat, or it's yellow sweat, and he's sweating Gatorade because the Gatorade made him do what he did. No, it shows someone giving their all for something that they like to do. Adidas, I like Adidas, all in. They say, whatever you're doing, give it your all. MasterCard, there are some things money cannot buy, and they have this every time during the holidays, right? But for everything else, just swipe, right? And I have the Marines, the few, the proud, and the Marines. Now, these are all crowns. These are all, thanks for coming. I got to watch out what I say in church, right? I might get some language. They do it for a corruptible price, and they'll give themselves to it. They will. However, we have an incorruptible prize available to us. And I'll say this, the prize that we seek is better than winning the championship. It's better than the World Cup for our soccer fans. It's better than winning the MVP for our basketball players. It's better than the Heisman Trophy for our college football fans. It's better than for Pastor Myers, the Stanley Cup. Couldn't miss that one. It's better than the French Open, the U.S. Open for our golfers, or any other temporal trophy. We have access to an incorruptible, eternal crown and prize in eternity. Right. If the corporate world and if the sports world can give their lives for something that's going to burn and mean nothing in eternity, we as God's people have access to something incorruptible, can give ourselves to it and for it. Number five, Paul realized that because of these things, he must live his life on purpose. Verse 26, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He said, I'm not running this race uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. See, this is where the rubber hits the road. If I'm going to live for the eternal, it must be something I do on purpose. Yeah. Got 2 minutes. I'll give the last point and I'll be done. My dad used to say, this stuff does not happen by what? He used to say, by osmosis, right? Yeah. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by accident. And so as I look to the new year, I've got to realize if I'm going to order my budget, my time, my child rearing, my growth, my ministry, all those things by eternity, I'm going to not have, I can't do it uncertainly. I can't do it like I'm just swinging. I've got to do it on purpose. And I want to encourage us, as we look to the new year, let's get out a pen, let's get out a paper, let's get to a quiet place, and let's ask, God, how can I order or reorder my life to live it for eternity? Let's look at our planners on purpose for eternity. Let's look at our budgets on purpose for eternity. Let's look at our ministry involvement on purpose for eternity. Right before church, Brother Jerry was saying, I've already passed my 70 years. He said, I'm on borrowed time. The Bible says, if by reason of strength, 80, right? So you still got something if you got it. He said, I'm teaching a Sunday school class next door. I see him early bringing donuts to those people, loving on those people. That's what I'm talking about. You might be a little bit older, but you're still investing in eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like some of us, maybe we used to be involved in the bus ministry and we've stopped. Maybe we can get back at it for the sake of eternity. Yeah. Number six, we'll be done. Number six, Paul understood as an athlete, it's not in your notes, as an athlete brings his body into subjection to obtain the runner's prize, we must do the same to obtain an eternal prize. He saw that how we order ourselves in this life has a direct impact on our destiny both now and in eternity. That's why he said, I bring my body under subjection. And I better stop right there. 12 days in 2019 we'll hear. And I just want to challenge us. Let's live 2019 on purpose. Let's live it with purpose in every area of our life. Our walk with God, daytimer. I'm definitely dating myself. Our outlook, okay? Or whatever we use, okay? Whatever we use, let's order our life for the next 365 days and the rest of our life for eternity. Let's stand together and let's pray.